We are looking at the life of Joshua, the life of Joshua. And we'll be doing this throughout this summer as we look at this wonderful life. God has given us him as an example of our own lives and what God wants to do for us. The title of the message this morning is God's Secret for Success. And in a moment, we're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. So if you have your Bibles, please open them. And we're going to try to cover a lot of territory this morning as we review some of the events of the life of Joshua. Joshua's story is a story of new beginnings. Moses has completed his life and ministry, and now the mantle falls on Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. It is a story of new beginnings, of do-overs, of God's mulligans, of second chances. It's God's chance for the people to enter into the promised land and experience all the blessings that God had for them. They had rejected those blessings because of their doubts and their fears. And now, 40 years later, it's time for them to enter the promised land. And God begins these promises with Joshua, because Joshua needs to be blessed by God. God is calling him to leadership, but he needs the anointing of the Lord. In a moment, we're going to be reading from Joshua 1:9. And in this, God has begun the leadership and the mentoring of Joshua for leading the people into the promised land. God gives him a call and a commission and the secret of prosperity. That promise of prosperity is that God says, you will be prosperous and you will succeed. You will be successful. And that promise is not only to Joshua, but to all of us. The Word of God tells us all of these stories of the Old Testament are not fables. They are real stories of real people, so that you know that God wants to deal with you in the same way that he dealt with them. So turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word. It's not my word. I didn't invent it. I didn't create it. And I'm not going to manipulate it. I am going to present it as you want. And we ask that our eyes would be open, our ears attent, and our hearts tender toward the word of God. And that you would do in us what you want to do. That you would do in us what you did for Joshua. That you would cause us to be prosperous and successful in your hand. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, lest anyone think that I'm going to preach a prosperity gospel this morning, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. God didn't promise you health and wealth, and if you give so much to the church, you're going to be blessed. That's not what God is talking about. But God is talking about a prosperity that's both inside and outside. It is inner, first of all, because you will be prosperous in the Lord, and outward because he'll make you prosperous, as he said to Joshua. Everything you put your hand to do will be successful. Wouldn't that be great? That you could actually say, everything that you're going to put your hand to do, God says, I'm going to bless it. And the reason is that God made this covenant with Joshua. And it's the same covenant he wants to make with you and with me. Joshua is no different than any of the rest of us. He's just a man made out of dust like us. But God raised him up and said, now, here's what I want to do. And I'm going to make a covenant with you. It's a personal covenant. And God says, I am going to do this, and I am going to do that if you will do the other thing. So prosperity and success is important to God. God wants us to be prosperous, and God wants us to be successful. He wants to bless us. He says he longs to bless us. He plans to bless us. And he is exalted when he does bless us. So all of this is important for us to understand that what God is saying to Joshua is about blessing. I want to pour out blessings on you so that you will be blessed in everything that you do. I want to share with you this morning the story of Joshua and his blessing. And I know the notes are extensive this morning, and that's because I have a lot to say, and I won't say it all, but I want to say a few things. Three things I want to point out this morning. First of all, Joshua's character, then Joshua's commitment, and finally, Joshua's covenant with the Lord. Those three things I want you to remember. Joshua had a characteristic that God liked. He was an adventurer. He was a man after God's own heart. And I want to share just a few things of his history before we get to Joshua, or the book of Joshua, that evidenced that he had this courageous heart. We find the first reference in Exodus chapter 17. It is the first battle that Israel faces after they cross the Jordan, after they cross the Red Sea. They cross the Red Sea, they're in the wilderness, they're traveling, and they finally meet the enemy. And what happens with the enemy, it's a huge crowd of people that are armed to their teeth. They have all kinds of weapons. Now the Israelites, they were slaves. They didn't have a lot of weapons. Everything they had to build for themselves. So they were pretty primitive. And this was the first battle, and it was against the Amalekites, which were a mighty people. Joshua was leading the battle, and he's down in the valley. Moses is on the hilltop, and as he prayed, he lifted up his hands and interceded for the battle that was going on down below. And while his hands were raised, the battle went well. But when he got tired and his arms fell down, the battle started to go against Israel. And so two of his friends came alongside and put a nice rock chair under him, and he could sit down, and they supported his arms so he could keep them up in the air. Wouldn't that be cool? I'd like to have somebody do that for me when I'm preaching. You know, let me sit down, you can hold my hands up, and you can, you know, give me a drink of water, a cup of coffee, something to help out. Well, these guys were helping out. They were assisting him in the battle that was raging down below. And as he raised his hand and interceded on their behalf, the Israelites wiped out the Amalekites. A miracle. They wiped them out completely. I'm sure Joshua was down there running around saying, "Woo! Yay! We did it! We beat them all! And all kinds of things that the macho guys say about their battle. But Moses is up on the hilltop, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to write down what just took place. I want you to write it down, and then I want you to read it to Joshua. Because it's not about Joshua's strength. It's not about your equipment. It's not about the army that you have. It's about my might and my strength, and I will give you victory every time you lean on me. And so God gave them a promise and said, I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the Lord your banner. I am the one who defeats all your enemies. I think it's significant that God says, make sure Joshua hears this. Read it in his presence so he knows he's not the strong guy. I'm the strong guy. Joshua's character was impressive because God had chosen a man who had courage. Joshua's character was created in the secret. All of our characters, everything about our characteristic is created in secret. You are what you are in secret. You are what you are when nobody else is looking. That's the fiber that God's looking for. God's looking for men and women that really have integrity and have courage and have faith in the Lord. And so we see that Joshua had faith in the Lord. We also see that Joshua was the only one who went with Moses up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. He went halfway up, and Moses went the rest of the way, but he stayed down below for 40 days and 40 nights praying for Moses as he was on the mountain. When Moses came down from the mountain, Joshua was there to walk with him as he carried those tables of stone that the Lord himself had written on. That's a tremendous thing. And they got down the mountain. As they came down the mountain, they got halfway down, and Joshua says to Moses, what's the noise I hear? I hear the noise of battle. And Moses looks at him and says, that's not the noise of battle. I don't hear swords. I don't hear spears. I don't hear cheering of somebody being defeated or cheering of somebody winning the battle. I hear dancing and I hear music. The people are playing. And he goes down and finds that they had created a golden calf. And you know that rest of the story, that God scolded the people, he sent plagues to the people, and Moses had to take that golden calf and grind it up, and then take that gold, and he threw it onto the rivers and got rid of it because it was an idol. Joshua was right there beside Moses that whole time. And then we find Joshua and Moses. It says that when Moses built the tabernacle and went into the tabernacle, when he went into the tabernacle to pray, the presence of the Lord came down. Joshua was there. And then Moses went out to do the business that he had to do in leading the people. But it says Joshua refused to leave the tabernacle. Joshua did not want to leave the presence of the Lord. He stayed there. And I'm sure that in his heart he was praying, Lord, let that descend on me, not just on Moses, but let that Spirit of God, let that Shekinah glory come on me so that I might inherit all that you want for me. And the last story about him prior to the book of Joshua is what we read last week from Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where now 40 years have passed, the people didn't get to go into the, or rather, they're almost to the land, and they stop there, and they send spies in. They send spies in. And the spies came back with a huge grapevine or grapes that were hanging between two men. I mean, it was huge, gigantic. But the people gave an evil report. They said, but it's a good country. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's everything God promised. But, everybody say but. You know, that's the worst word we can use when we're talking about God. But. Yeah, Lord, I know this and I know you said this and but. And the people were butinskis. They were always saying but there's giants in the land. But the cities are walled and they're strong and everybody there is tall and we can't beat them. They were negative thinkers, but we can't. And so God said, because you didn't believe me, God's the one who said, I will send you in and you will defeat the enemies. Because you didn't believe me, you are a cursed people and for 40 years you will wander in the wilderness. And this whole generation will die. And only two men gave a good report. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. And God said, Joshua and Caleb, out of all this whole generation, they're the only two that are going to go into the promised land. And so it came true that when they finally came about to go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the two strong ones. Caleb said, I'm 85 years old now, but I'm as strong as I was when I was 45. Give me a sword, give me a people to conquer, and I'm going to go in and do it single-handed if necessary. It was a man of faith. All this to give us the character of who Joshua was. He was a man of God. Look at the passage this morning. In verse 8, God gives him some specifics. Actually, the whole passage really is helpful for us, but verse 8 really singles in on this. God says, Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do everything that is written in it, and then you will be prosperous, and then you will have success. God gives him some instructions. God says, I'm going to bless you. I am going to do great things with you, but I want you to cooperate, and I want you to do this. I want you to keep my law. I want the word of God in your hand and in your mouth. I want it daily to be with you, and I want you to meditate on it, and I want you to be careful to obey everything that I've told you to do, and then you will be prosperous, and then you will have success. God also told him, be bold and be strong. Be bold and be strong. Now, Joshua was going into the land of Canaan, which was a land flowing with milk and honey, but it was also a land with giants. They were real giants. They were also cities that were walled, and you'll find out in a few weeks when we talk about the walls of Jericho, how big that was and how gigantic that obstacle was in their way. Joshua knew all this, but God says, I want you to be bold and be courageous. See, that's what God wants of every one of us. He doesn't want us to be weak and feeling like we can't do anything, that we are nothing, that we don't have strength, we don't have energy, we don't have the gifts that God wants to give us. We need to be bold and we need to be strong and know that when God says, I am going to bless you, He is going to bless you. So be bold and be strong. And finally, the Lord says, I am going to be with you. I am going to be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Joshua goes into the land knowing, I have these wonderful promises. All I have to do is keep the Word of God in my heart, in my mind, meditating on it and obeying it, and I am going to be blessed in every way that I do. God is looking for that kind of character in each one of us. He's looking for us to take His Word seriously. We are given more of Scripture than Joshua had. He had just the first five books of the Old Testament. But God has given us so much more, and He's given us many more promises than Joshua had. And He wants us to do the same thing. He gives this challenge to us, to you, to me. He says, if you keep this book of the law always on your lips and meditate on it day and night, you will be careful to do everything that's written in it, then you will be prosperous, and then you will have great success. So we see Joshua's character was a character whose heart was after God. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be. The second thing we see is Joshua's commitment. God says, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I mentioned that Joshua stood by the tabernacle. He did not want to leave the tabernacle. He loved the house of God. And so God blessed him because of that, because he loved the Lord in first place in his life. We need to understand that God gives us some wonderful scriptures that encourage us, even in our old age. How many of you are old? Some of you are liars. How many of you are old? I'm going to point out to the people that didn't raise their hand. How many of you are old? Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know you don't want to raise your hand. You think I'm going to draft you and make you come up here. I promise I won't do that. But God gives a promise to Joshua about being in the temple or being in the tabernacle. And it's found in Psalms 92. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedars in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him. Did you hear what he said? You will flourish like a palm tree. You will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish and bring forth fruit in old age. I don't think he's talking about having babies, but he is talking about bringing forth fruit that lasts for a lifetime. That you won't stop being fruitful. You will still see the hand of God on your life as you trust the Lord for your life and your ministry, whatever God has given you to do. So Joshua had a commitment to stay with the tabernacle, stay with the Lord, be in the house of God. Now let me go from preaching to meddling. I had a preacher that always did this. How often are you in the house of God? Is it the place you want to be? Is it the place you long to be on a Sunday morning? Or is it the place you go to once in a while when it's convenient? Joshua was there when it wasn't convenient. Joshua was there all the time that he could because he knew, I need to be close to God, and that's the best place I could be. Because when you're in the tabernacle, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of you. God is here. Jesus is here when you are here. Jesus is still here when you're not here. But you don't experience His presence, nor do you experience His power. Okay, that was a rebuke. You can leave that aside. Joshua was a man of commitment. And God says, I want you to obey my commands. There are tremendous promises in the Word of God for those that obey God's commands. I've given you an insert, and on the second side of that insert, I've given you a lot of scripture verses. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want you to read all of them. That's why I gave it to you. So you can take home and consider the truth of God's Word. All of these are references to God saying, you will be prosperous when you obey the Lord, when you keep His Word before you. Always, that is the condition. Keep His Word in your heart, and God will bless you. Look at Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scorners, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates in His law day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by streams of water. He will yield fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither. Here's the last part. Whatever he does will prosper. My friends, this is the condition that God gives us. The Word of God is important. It needs to be nailed to our hearts. It needs to be in our minds. It needs to be thought about. It needs to be memorized. It needs to be read so that we can make our way prosperous, that God can flow the blessings of heaven on us. Now, I intended to bring an umbrella in here, and I forgot it's in the car, but I'm going to put up the umbrella anyway. Watch me do it. Okay. I take my umbrella. Sure, you got an umbrella. Why did you bring an umbrella?
Have an umbrella.
It's not going to rain today, but thank you. Lord bless you and keep. I don't know how to open it. Oh, there's the button. There. Okay. There's my illustration. Keeping the Word of God in your heart and your mind, not just reading it, but remembering it, loving it, and yes, reading it every day, puts an umbrella of protection over you. God says that to Joshua. Joshua, I have this protection for you. I want to prosper you and make you successful, but it's conditioned that you stay under the umbrella. You need to stay under the spout where the blessings flow out. God wants you under His blessing. He wants you under the shadow of the Almighty. That is, when I'm safe, protected from Him, His Word covers me and He seals me and everything I do will prosper. Thank you, Evelyn. That's a nice... I thank you for giving me this. This is wonderful. I'll take it home. I want you to remember that. I want that visible picture of the shadow of the Almighty, the protection of the Lord that's over you, because the Word of God is in you. The Word of God is obeyed by you. The Word of God is meditated by you. The Word of God is precious to you. So Joshua had this commitment to the Word of God. We read this morning from Psalm 19 as our call to worship. What a wonderful expression of how powerful God's Word is. This Word will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from God's Word. And finally, Joshua rested in the promises of God. He rested in the promises of God. God was speaking to him directly in this passage and saying, I am going to do these things for you. Now, there's another character in the Old Testament who was a wheeler and dealer. He liked to do negotiations with God and bribe God, and his name was Jacob. He was a conniver. He was a cheat. And he always was that way. And when he came to the Lord and started to walk with the Lord, he made a conniving thing. He said, God, if you bless me, then I'm going to give you 10% of my tithe. I'm going to give you my tithe. If you bless me, I'm going to give you my tithe. That is not the way God wants things to run. We're not bribing God. God can't be bribed. He doesn't need your tithe. He doesn't need your offering. The opposite is true. It should be, Lord, I'm giving you my offering because you are worthy. And know that God says when you give Him that offering freely and lovingly with a hearty heart, God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. Jacob had it backwards. He said, I'll do this if you do that. God's saying to Joshua, I will do this for you. And I'm just asking you to do one thing in return. I want my Word to be in your heart and your mind. My Word in your heart and your mind. I want to read you a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you have your Bibles, you need to turn to this. It needs to be marked in yellow. It needs to be underlined. It needs to be circled. Everything you can do to mark it in your Bible, mark it, because it is probably the most profound passage that I've read in the Bible about God blessing. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. God is speaking to His people once again. And He's saying, this is what I want to do for you. And the condition is just let my Word dwell in your hearts. And He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. Now listen to what God's starting to say. As He gives these promises, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that received that kind of promise. They were the only ones that believed God. Do you realize there were 2 million people in Israel that came to the promised land on the border of the promised land, but refused to go in, and only 2 men were courageous enough to believe God and take Him at His word. Let me continue. Verse 2. All these blessings shall come upon you. And I like the original Hebrew. It says, and all these blessings will overtake you. It's like a runner running up and overtaking you and running over you and being faster than you are. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey your God. And you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Your crops will be blessed. The young livestock will be blessed. Your calves and your herds and your lambs will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading trough will be full. The Lord will grant your enemies will rise up against you, that they will be defeated before you, and they'll flee in every direction. And the Lord will send blessing upon your barns and upon everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He has given you. He will establish you as a holy people. And the enemies around you will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, the land He swore to your ancestors. The Lord will open the windows of heaven, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain upon your land in season. He will bless the work of your hands, and you will lend to many nations and will borrow from none. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And if you will pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that He gives you this day, be careful to follow them, you will be the top and never at the bottom. Don't you love that? That is so great. So often you feel like the tail that wags the dog. You feel like you're the bottom rung instead of the top rung. God says, if you do these things, these are my promises to you, that you will be blessed above all people. You will live in the promises of God. Now this morning, because I know I can't share everything that's in my heart with you, I put on the back table back there 365 promises of God. That's not all of them. I have another document that's 600 promises from the Word of God, covering every area of your life. God has provided this for you in the Bible. Pastor Dick has done some diligence to go search them out, and he's organized them and giving them to you. Oh, isn't this precious? I'm giving this to you. I don't even sell it to you. It's all the promises of God for your life that's going to make you blessed like Joshua. But you have to go back there and pick it up. And then when you get home, you have to open it up and you have to read it. One a day. It's your vitamin. 365. Do it every year for 10 years. You'll find out your life is going to be blessed like never before. Why? Because you're believing the promises of God. You're not letting them stay buried in the Bible somewhere. They're out where you can receive them and believe them. And I believe that when you find these promises and you read these promises, you ought to go to the Bible and mark them down. As a matter of fact, most of these are marked in my Bible. That's why I found them so easily. So we encourage you. I only have 20 copies. So, oh, ye of little faith, I only believe that there's 20 people that want to be blessed by God. I have 21 here. So if they're run out, you come up here and you can get mine. God has given us wonderful promises. Finally, Joshua has a covenant with the Lord. That covenant with the Lord is a personal agreement with God. It's a surrender of your life to Him and say, I will do what you ask me to do. I will be your man. I will be your woman. I want to be blessed. And it's opening your heart and saying, Lord, I want to enter into that covenant that Joshua had. I want this Joshua 1:8 to be my promise from the Father that everything I put my hand to do will prosper. And God says, if you enter into that covenant with me, I will do it. See, the first covenant with God is the covenant of salvation. That you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior. And God says, He will seal your heart with the Holy Spirit. You will be marked both in heaven and on earth as God's child by receiving Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. That's the beginning of this journey. You start there. And then God says all these other promises will come. Well, one of the promises of God is that you will hear God's voice. You will hear God's voice. I was visiting in France with an American couple who owned a chateau, and we were talking, and I was witnessing to him, sharing what I did, and the book I wrote about being still and being alone with God. And this businessman, very wealthy, turns to me privately and he says, Dick, do you think I could hear the voice of God? And I said, oh, George, yes, you can. God's voice is always there, both in the Bible, but He speaks verbally too. He whispers. But most of us don't hear it because we don't get quiet enough to still all the noise and to hear His still small voice. God says to Joshua, I'm going to talk to you. And all through the book of Joshua, you'll find God speaking to Joshua and telling him things that are not written in the book, but it's the voice of God. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. And then Joshua's covenant also was the covenant of obedience. The Lord, whatever you tell me, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. We have an Old Testament story of Saul. Saul was the king of Israel, but he was arrogant. He was proud. And one day, Samuel didn't come along to offer the sacrifice. He was the priest and the prophet. He didn't come, and Saul got nervous and said, well, we need to move ahead, so I'm going to go ahead and offer the sacrifice. And Saul got cursed by God because of that. God says, you are to do what I tell you to do, not what you want to do. In another instance, he didn't destroy all the evil people and all the wealth of the lands of the ungodly. And God says, you're not to take any of that as your own treasure. And he took it as his own treasure. And God says, for this, because you've done it, I will curse you. I will turn away from you. You will no longer be the king of Israel. It's important that we listen to the word of God. God says this to Samuel, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed or listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Joshua heard the voice of God and he obeyed the voice of God. The last thing about Joshua is that he heralded God's absolutes, God's truth. God says, I want you to speak my word. When he gives him this promise, he says, I want you to meditate on it. I want you to obey it. I want you to be careful about it. But I also want you to tell other people about it. I want you to proclaim my truth to others. And God has given us the privilege of declaring his truth, his absolutes to others. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says to the people of Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And then he goes on to say, and this is what you should do. You should put it in your house, the word of God. You should write it on your doors. You should hang it on your walls. You should teach it to your children. You talk about it when you sit down to meals. You talk about it before you go to bed. And you will write my word on your heart. See, God says, I want my word to be central in your life, just like it was in Joshua. Now let me tell you a couple stories about people that were blessed because they took God seriously in this covenant. The first one is D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a country bumpkin. He couldn't speak well. He couldn't do much, but he got saved and started winning other people to Christ. His speech was so horrible that he went to England to speak because he became famous, and they invited him to speak at one of the universities. And he spoke at the universities, and even the headlines on the newspapers was how this preacher damaged the English language in his pronunciation. They said he's the only one that could ever pronounce Mesopotamia with two syllables. I don't know how you do that, but D.L. Moody could. And he took all that flack and he says, I don't care what they think about me. God says he's going to use me no matter what because I have God's promise. And God was using him mightily everywhere he went. Everything that he had put his hand to do was blessed because he was obedient to the Lord. There's another man in our day. His name is David Ring. He's a Baptist preacher. He has cerebral palsy. If you've ever heard his speaking, he speaks around the world. He's been doing this for 50 years with cerebral palsy. He can barely speak. Now, I'm going to imitate him, not making fun of him. But he says this. He's speaking to the crowd. He says, I can hardly talk to you because I have cerebral palsy. And I can't do a lot of things that you do. I have cerebral palsy. Can God use me? I have cerebral palsy. What's wrong with you? Wow. When I first heard that, I thought, wow. None of us have any excuse to say God can't use us because we don't have cerebral palsy. He has cerebral palsy, and for 50 years he's been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing hundreds to salvation because he's faithful. Not looking at his weakness, but taking his weakness and making it his strength as he leaned on the Lord. We have a friend whose name is Dan McAdoo, and I hope Dan can come here one day and do some of his art for us. And he does artistic drawings and paintings during a church service with music, and he shares his testimony. But Dan can hardly talk. He has a different disease. It's called Wilson's disease, and it affects your brain and a lot of your motor skills. And he walks funny, and he talks funny. I can hardly understand him. So his wife does a lot of the translation for the rest of us. But Dan has a wonderful gift. His testimony is fantastic, that he gave his heart to the Lord, and God transformed him. And he said, I started doing art therapy and discovered there was a gift in me, and he does wonderful murals. He did it at the university at Clarion, and he did it a number of other places where he does these beautiful murals. And he does that because he says, as I'm doing it, I can feel the Lord pouring through me and doing the work. And I think, wow, what's the matter with you? What excuses are you giving that you can't serve God? There is no excuse for saying, I can't serve God. There's only excuse that says, I haven't dedicated my life to Him. I haven't been wholly consecrated. I haven't wholeheartedly followed the Lord as my Savior. I'll close with this illustration, and I don't want to belabor it. I've told you before that when I was 16 years old, I couldn't speak in public. I couldn't even read Scripture in our youth group without trembling and stuttering through it. But when I was 16 years old, God got a hold of my heart, and I went to an altar and I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I've got bad grades through high school. I don't have any gifts. It's been proven I don't have any gifts. I actually took tests and found I didn't have any gifts at all. I said, I can't do what you ask me to do. You want me to be a missionary? And I can't do it. So that night I laid my heart on the Lord's altar and I said, Lord, here I am. Whatever you can do with me, do. God took that stammering little boy that was so timid he couldn't stand up and speak. And over a period of years, He transformed him and gave him gifts. And I'm not bragging. I'm bragging about the Lord. God has given me so many gifts, I stand in awe. I stand in awe because I look back to the young man, 16 years old. And my mom and my aunt, who were faithful servants of God, said, you don't have any gifts. And God says, I'm going to take you because you don't have any gifts. And I'm going to make my glory shine through you. And whatever you put your hand to do, it will prosper. Isn't that an amazing story? I'm not Dan McAdoo, but when I retired and had some time off, I started to paint, first time in my life. And God began to use that art to bless people. I was doing pencil portraits of people in my family, and they turned out pretty nice. And then my assistant pastor had cancer, young man. And we had the same spirit and the same desires to serve the Lord. And I sat by him at his deathbed. And he said, Pastor Dick, the Lord's going to take me home. And I want you to do my funeral. And then he gave me the keys to our cottage, which now we've renovated. And I did that funeral, but the night before the funeral, I was drawing his picture and I couldn't get it right. It never came out right. And somewhere in that evening, as I was drawing, the Lord said, stop. And I said, but it's not finished. And the Lord said, stop. You'll ruin it. Leave it as it is. And I took that picture, that drawing, over to his wife, and she started to weep. And she said, Pastor, you have captured my husband in this, the looks in his eye, the smirk on his face, everything. We went to his funeral, which was a funeral that was really public here in Grove City. It was at the high school. And they took that little picture that I drew and blew it up 9x12 in that whole auditorium. And I sat there looking at it and I said, I did that? No. The Lord did that. I just said, Lord, you said whatever I put my hand to do will prosper. Make it prosper. The question for you today is, what are you doing with the Word of God? Have you made a covenant with the Lord to surrender all to Him? And are you allowing Him to use your life? Heavenly Father, a lot of words, but the most important is Your Word. I pray that this Word of God will echo in our hearts, that we would take the seriousness of making a covenant with God and letting You do what You want to do with us. Make us a Joshua, make us an Elijah, make us a man or woman of God. But don't let us waste our lives just trying so hard and failing over and over again. Teach us Your ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a CD that's going to play a song, a hymn that's familiar to many of you. And I trust that it will bless your heart as you think about your own life. Let's play this.
But chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Will you stand with me as we close in prayer? Perhaps this morning you're saying, I don't know if God can use me. And I'm here today to tell you God can use anyone. He even spoke through a donkey. He can use any of us. He just waits for us to enter into that covenant to say, Lord, I'll put your word for first, my love for you first, and everything else will fall into place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of Joshua's life. Oh God, that we can be even a small part of Joshua. Lord, that covenant is for all of us, not just for him. So we receive it this morning. If there's anyone here that has not received you as Savior, I pray that today, right now, they will say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and change me. Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me and forgive me and write my name in heaven. And then, Lord, make me prosperous and successful through your hand. Lord, we ask that you'd go with us now and grant us your benediction, that you would bless us with your presence, with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.